السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كلامه المجيد والفرقان الحميد: فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير. صدق الله العظيم. فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: اللهم بارك لنا في رجب وشعبان وبلغنا رمضان، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. I begin in the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, and I bear witness that there is none worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that His beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His last and final messenger. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His help, His protection, His mercy, and praying and begging to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us amongst the successful individuals both in this life and in the hereafter. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. On the face of this earth, as different kinds of people, different colors of people, different religions, people in different countries spend their lives from birth, from the time they are born until the time their lives end, until their death, there happens to be many celebrations in an individual's life. Many celebrations are due to one's religion. Many celebrations and holidays happen to do with one's country or where a person is living. Many celebrations and holidays are to do with one's personal being. You know, there are certain things that people celebrate personally. All in all, human beings, no matter what times they have lived in, no matter where they have lived or live, continue to live, they will have various different celebrations, occasions, on holidays in their lives. So many times we have mentioned that many of the celebrations and holidays that we see around us in the land that we live in, although some of them historically are religious, they are nothing nowadays except a way and a means of making money. Right? Every time there happens to be a holiday, no matter what reason there may be behind it, for the consumers, all it is about making more money. For people, all it is about spending money. And all in all, it revolves around money and wealth. And although the holiday or that celebration or that occasion may be spiritual, in some sense, there's absolutely no spirituality about it at all. Now for a moment, we take our own celebrations and holidays and occasions, as in the Islamic celebrations, Islamic holidays, Islamic occasions, those that hold some honor, some place in our history, we find that every one of those have to do with nothing but worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter what, no matter how big or small an event or a celebration or a holiday may be, it has to do with worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, we take one of the greatest celebrations that we have, for example, Eid. Even on the day of Eid, the day of Eid is considered to be a day of worship. The night before Eid is considered to be a night of worship. The day of festivities and the day of Eid begins with a collective and congregational prayer in which one praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and prostrates to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now there are many occasions, there are many celebrations that happen during the course of the year that have a historic significance. They have a historic significance. Muslims, no matter where they have lived, no matter how long it has been from the time of the Prophet ﷺ, that historic significance is something that is still preserved. That when people come together on these nights or on these days, or when they are reminded, they go directly to the teachings of the Prophet ﷺ. They go directly to those traditions and narrations from the companions, the Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'een, may Allah be pleased with them all, that have narrated these holidays and these occasions. We go right back into history and we still find that we can learn about those celebrations and those occasions without any changes. And why do we learn about them? Why do we speak about them? Simply so that we are reminded of our rich history. And by reminding ourselves, we reflect on the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when an individual reflects on the blessings of God Almighty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, an individual is inclined to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An individual is automatically inclined to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An individual is automatically inclined to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An individual, when he or she realizes that they are servants of Allah Almighty, that they are servants of God Almighty, they will automatically begin to love Him, begin to thank Him, begin to worship Him, and begin to fear Him. Right, begin to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The verse of the Qur'an that I just recited a few moments ago is the first verse of a surah in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very beautifully, in very few words, describes the miraculous journey of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, without going into too much detail, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins this ayah by saying, Subhanalladhi, glorified be the one, i.e. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God Almighty. Glorified be Allah, alladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan, who took his servant on a night journey. Who took his servant on a night journey. Now do bear in mind that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word servant here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using the word servant for the most beloved of creation. For the individual He loves the most. For the individual whom He, Allah, chose to receive the final message. For the individual who was the last and final prophet to mankind. Right? The message that we learn from this is that the highest quality any individual can attain with Allah, any individual can attain with their Creator, is by being His servant, is by serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And service to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be done spiritually, can be done internally, can be done physically. There's many ways of serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also bear in mind that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the term and the word abd. That is a reminder to every single one of us that the highest maqam an individual, the highest position an individual can reach is that of being a slave of Allah. Is that one who is in service to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unlike other individuals, or as we find in other faiths, people ascribed their prophets to be the son of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-ayadu billah, right? The son of God, or the Holy Spirit, and so on and so forth. In our faith, we are reminded, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدَ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدْ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ. Verily, He is Allah and He is one. He has not begotten, nor was He begotten. He was not born of someone and He does not bear anyone. So He has, subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has no children. And we are reminded of that in this verse by saying, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi, took His servant on a night journey. He calls the most beloved of creation, the most beloved of mankind, a servant of His. took him on a night journey. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he took him on this night journey. من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى. From المسجد الحرام to المسجد الأقصى. From المسجد الحرام in مكة المكرمة to المسجد الأقصى. الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, المسجد الأقصى, that is the area where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, باركنا حوله. All the area around it, we have blessed. All the area around it, we have blessed. That is why it's a historically proven fact that the majority of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came to that land. The majority of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came to that land. And for those individuals who've had the honor to visit those lands, they will find that there are so many graves of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in those lands. Barakna, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we have blessed that land. Now if we may get caught off on a tangent for a brief moment, and we may ask ourselves that if that is the most blessed land, then why does it happen to be the land on the face of this earth that the entire world is worrying and arguing about? Right? There's this one piece of land on the face of this earth that if the controversy in regards to that land was to be finished, the majority of the problems on the face of this earth would go away. But we don't know the reason. We don't know, as I've mentioned before, we don't know the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes we as human beings may see an evil and it actually may be khair, there's actually khair in it. And sometimes we may see something good but there may be evil in it. So that's the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But definitely we should know and understand that that is a land where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed that land. لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing and saying, so that we may show them our signs. We may show the human beings our signs. Although, as we believe, it is the aqidah of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took this night journey from Makkatul Mukarramah to Al-Masjidul Aqsa and ascended into heavens from Al-Masjidul Aqsa to the heaven, to Al-Baytul Ma'mur, and greeted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This entire journey took place in person. This was not a dream as many people have professed. This journey of Allah, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, happened to be a physical journey. That's why this journey was a miraculous journey. That's why this journey was a life-changing journey for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why this journey was a life-changing journey for every single Muslim on the face of this earth. Right? Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that we showed him the signs. لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says we showed him our signs. But what was the job of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we all know, was a messenger. And what's the job of a messenger? The job of a messenger is to convey the message that he has received. And so this journey was not a vacation for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This journey was so that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could see with his own very eyes the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This does not go to say that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't believe in those. Right? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam believed in every single one of those signs, even without seeing those signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to see those signs of his and showed him what he subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted him to see. Right? It's a very long story and we have heard it in detail in the past where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ascended into the heavens. He went to the first heaven, the second heaven, the third heaven, and so on and so forth until he met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now there's two things I want to mention. One, every day, and this is something that we all know, but sometimes we may tend to forget. Every day, every single one of us prays. Right? We pray. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are certain parts of our salat that are essential. Our salat is not completed without certain parts of our prayer. One of those parts of prayer is that in salat we recite at the end, At-tahiyyatu lillahi wa salawatu wa tayyibat. We recite the tashahhud. Every single one of us knows this, and this is one of those things that we teach our children when they're very young. The prayer is not complete without reciting this. That, in reality, is the actual conversation that took place between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How many times we see individual celebrities in this world meet, right? People meet each other. Politicians are meeting each other. And then people are wanting to find out what happened after their conversation. What was their conversation all about? And whoever gets their hands on the conversation, whichever media outlet gets their hand on that conversation, the first thing they want to do is publish it, get it out there, because they want to have the honor of saying that we were the ones who published this conversation. We were the first ones to find out what happened there. And whatever it may be, and obviously generally all the time these conversations have to do with about nothing but politics or worldly matters. There was one conversation that took place on the face of this earth in the history of mankind. There is no conversation ever like this that has taken place or that will ever take place. It was a very unique conversation. And it was a conversation between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of this world and everything in it and everything around it, and the best of mankind, the best of creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That conversation was not a very long conversation. That conversation was not a useless conversation. That conversation was of very few words. That conversation was with a lot of respect. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began by saying, "At-tahiyyatu lillahi wa salawatu wa tayyibat." That all salutations, all praises, all pure things belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he taught us, again, there's a lesson in every single thing. He taught us that we should praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why we are reminded by our ulama and scholars that when we begin to make dua, when we begin to supplicate to Allah, when we begin to ask Allah for something, one of the first things that we do is to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't just begin your dua, don't just begin your supplications just like that. Praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Praise your Lord. Praise the Creator. And then send salutations on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then begin to make dua. And then begin to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do in return? As-salamu alayka ayyuha nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his salutations to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends his salutations to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine, this is Allah, the Lord of mankind and the best of creations, having this conversation. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us and tells us in the Quran, أَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولُ, obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obey the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I wonder why human beings hesitate in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obeying the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because the Prophet, this is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَطِيعُ الرَّسُولُ, obey the Prophet. Right? Obey the Prophet of Allah in many cases in the Quran. This is the same Prophet that Allah chose to send the revelation to. This is the same Prophet that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he met him, gave him his salutations and greetings. This is the same Prophet that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose. There were many thousands of prophets that came to the face of this earth. According to some narrations, close to 124,000 prophets that came to the face of this earth. But there was not a single one of those prophets who met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was also shown heaven and hell. These were things that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw. The messenger saw. And when the messenger came back to the face of this earth, the messenger conveyed the message. Because it was the job of the messenger to convey the message. That's why we know in the final sermon, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made everyone a witness that he had conveyed the message. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conveyed the message to mankind that I met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was the message that was given to me. And the message that was given, among the many things that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw and was given, one of the most important things, and the second most important thing I want to mention, is that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given the gift of salah. Right? This was a gift. When we stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should realize that this is not something difficult for us to do. That this is not a burden. This is not something that we just need to relieve ourselves of. Rather, when I stand in prayer, when I have performed my wudu and I have stood facing the qibla, as I am making my intention to do my prayer, I should come to realize that not only am I fulfilling an obligation, I'm about to fulfill that obligation which happens to be a gift from Allah to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to the entire mankind. That's pretty much what we are doing. Like, this is a gift that was given to the Prophet ﷺ. And when I stand in front of my Lord, when I stand in front of my Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen me among the millions and billions on the face of this earth to stand there and fulfill this obligation to Him. Because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted, He wouldn't have given us the tawfiq. Right? Tawfiq is something that is given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses His servants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses His slaves. Just as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was chosen to meet Him and see Him, when you and I stand in prayer, we are chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which inshaAllah, God willing, is a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already accepted our prayer, inshaAllah. Right, don't be pessimistic, be optimistic. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very, very merciful. So this journey, and it's referred to as the miraculous journey. And we all know when we take the names of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, many of them have titles. But many of them have titles. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, generally when we take the name of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, we literally refer to him as Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Right? We refer to him as As-Siddiq. Because when the Prophet ﷺ came back and he told those around him the story, there were people who went into the town. The neo-Muslims, if we may use that term, were individuals who turned away from faith and said, how could an individual go to the heavens and come back in a matter of a few moments? So much so that narrations mention that the bedding of the Prophet ﷺ was still warm. He had gone to the heavens, he experienced all, he went to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, he went to the heavens, experienced everything in person, and when he came back, his bed was still warm. And someone went to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and said, do you know what your friend is saying? And narrates the story to him. And what does Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu say? That if this is what my friend is saying, I believe my friend. I believe everything that he has to say. That was the reason why Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was so close to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was so beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? It's all about obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's all about believing. And I will end today by saying, there's a lot of things that need to be said, but I will end by saying that many a times, we as human beings and individuals on the face of this earth, we ask questions. We generally just begin to ask questions. Ask one question after another question after another question. Sometimes asking questions is good for us. It's to increase in our knowledge. And sometimes we generally just continue to ask questions because that happens to be our personality. What we really need to do is learn to believe. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said it, believe it. If the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said it, done it, believe it. That's where success lies. Right? That's where success lies. Success lies in believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believing in the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and obeying His beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that may He subhanahu wa ta'ala guide and protect every single one of us. Now, there are many different narrations, but generally the narration is that this night of Isra and Mi'raj happened in the month of Rajab. And also that according to some narrations, it happened on the 27th night of Rajab. That is why we find that in many of our masajid around the world, there happens to be some sort of an event or occasion where this is celebrated. Where our scholars come together to remind us of our obligations and we spend a few moments worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mentioned the dua when the Prophet ﷺ used to see the moon for the month of Rajab. The Prophet ﷺ used to say, Allahumma barik lana, O Allah, bless us in the month of Rajab and Sha'ban, wa balighna Ramadan, and grant us the ability to see the month of Ramadan. The months of Rajab and Sha'ban are a prelude to the month of Ramadan. So we have already entered that season of giving, that season of worship. You know, when summer begins, people start preparing for summer in the spring, start making plans. Right? When the winter comes around and you happen to be on winter break, people start planning for their winter break weeks in advance. That's pretty much what it is. The months of Rajab and Sha'ban are preparations for the month of Ramadan. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide and protect every single one of us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give every single one of us the strength and ability to worship Him, just as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has commanded us to do so. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Bi rahmatika.